Oh yeah, I'm not Mario good at it.
Me too. I suck at Mario Kart. It's not fun for me because I get frustrated.
Yeah. Like, how am I going backwards?
Yes.
Is that even possible?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, I'm the one who's looking at the wrong screen. I'm
yes. Like, always. Always, always mm-hmm. looking at the wrong screen. Oh, like, shit, I thought I was going to do it really well. And you're like, God damn, here I am stuck in a tree.
Yes.
Like, uh-huh. For 20 minutes.
I'm stuck in a sand dune. You're like, what the fuck happened? Horrible.
Why am I small? I'm always small, like, extra small. Like, who made me small?
I was never good at video games. I just don't have that. I don't have that gene. I don't know what it is, that mm-hmm. like coordination gene. And I was the right age to be into it, and yeah. My brother was into it. We had mm-hmm. all of the consoles, all of the games. Like, I never was able to be good at it. I had a Game Boy that I was good at.
Right.
That's it. That's the extent of my gaming knowledge.
I had the Sega version. I had Game Gear. So I, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, see, that game gives me vertigo.
Yeah.
It makes my lazy eye go nuts.
You just have one eye spinning. Like,
you know what does the same thing as Crash Bandicoot? Do you remember Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah.
It was the same thing where it was like jumping up and down. Yeah, it's like a lot of wonky movement.
It's
all
the answer to Mario, really, right? Mm. I sucked at Mario bad.
Oh.
So bad.
I remember
I tried 20 times just to hit that one block to get that mushroom out.
Oh, my God.
I remember not being too bad at it when we got it when I was a kid. So my boyfriend just got a Nintendo Switch, and so he ended up getting a lot of those older games. So we tried to play Mario again, which I haven't played in probably, I think we got our Nintendo when I was maybe 8 or 9.
Okay.
So I haven't really played since then. Girl.
Yeah.
I was like, there's very few things in life that you were way better at 8 than at 38 or 39. Yeah. I was like, I have played this before. I understand it. I'm not
jumping. You're better things that you're better at 8 than you are at 38. Jumping.
Yes. I'm like Mario, the actual Super Mario, and the things he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, have
sitting
you guys
crisscross applesauce?
Have you guys tried? I'm sitting crisscross applesauce right now. Thank you very much. Have you tried hula hooping recently?
Oh no, girl, I gotta break a hip.
Y'all, I remember I could go to town on a hula hoop, right? Like, I could rock a hula hoop, but like,
never was good at hula hoop, man.
I tried to hula hoop recently. I didn't know I was as uncoordinated as I am.
Yeah.
Apparently it's really hard.
Reality check for me, a jungle gym.
Oh my God.
Dude,
thank you.
I used to be like, I could climb on fucking
put
anything.
Put my fucking legs up in.
Yes.
I couldn't even fucking hang on one. Girl, I was like, holy shit. Was like so shocked at it because I was like, oh yeah, jungle gym. I'm going to just
never mind.
No.
We were all acrobats at 8 years old because I think about the things that we used to do. I used to think I was a professional like gymnast.
Yeah.
I used to do the things where you like pulled yourself up and you like swung around and lift yourself around.
Yes, girl.
Man.
Yes.
And look, I'm going to try it next time I see a jungle gym. I'm going to see if I can.
Girl, please let me get that on film.
I want you to know
that
I don't, I love you and I believe in you, but you can't.
Oh,
challenge accepted.
We're going to go to the park right after this now.
Yes.
Like, now I feel like I've been called out.
All part of my master
plan. I feel like I've been called out. I'll let you put it on film. We'll put it up on Patreon.
I feel like if anyone can, I feel like I believe in you, but I'm just like, dude, it was a real
I'll bring Advil
moment for me. Because sometimes in my head, and I don't know if this happens to you guys too, you get to a certain age and it's like fluid.
Yeah.
How you feel. Like, I don't know what feeling 39 in quotes really feels like, but it doesn't feel so far away from 8 years old.
No.
Until you get on the fucking jungle gym.
Oh,
right.
God.
That's right. Relative.
You know,
relative.
There's a lot of things that I feel like we need to make a list and we can record ourselves doing these things. We'll check them off the list. But there are certain things. It's like jungle gym, bounce house, trampoline, like these mm-hmm. things. Like,
listen, I can sit crisscross applesauce. How long can I before my legs go to sleep?
How much are your legs hurt? Burning? Yeah. Your knees are burning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you guys, we were just talking before recording about the movie Bad Trip, which is like a prank movie or yeah. whatever. So because I haven't really been drinking, I've been doing edibles every once in a while. So I had an edible and we watched this movie and I about pissed my fucking pants. I was laughing so hard. Tiffany Haddish is...
Prank movies give me anxiety.
I don't
bit.
Like I'm pranks. Not gonna lie. Like, speaking of, either. Since we just did April Fool's Day, like, ooh, I don't like pranks, but I like Tiffany Haddish.
My favorite yeah. thing about the movie is that the pranks aren't on the unsuspecting people. The pranks are on the people doing the pranks and the people... around are watching it, like reacting oh. to crazy shit. Oh. So nothing bad happens to like ordinary people. They're watching crazy shit happen to
my
the
secondhand
people.
Embarrassment, so, though.
You know, I'm gonna try it.
Okay, I'm gonna try it.
You yeah. have to.
I'm gonna try so it for funny. You.
Okay,
Christina.
It was number one on Netflix for a reason.
And all right, for you, I will
exactly yes.
But anyways. So then I was watching, we were like, let's get all the Jackass movies.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So we're watching these people.
Are we going to fuck, marry, kill the Jackass guys?
That's problematic in so many ways.
Oh, you're right. You're right, you're right.
I hate it.
But, so they're doing all this crazy shit, and I mean, like, crazy. And I was like, I forgot how insane and bad
I hated it when it was happening.
Me too. It's so stupid.
Do you know these motherfuckers are getting ready to do another one?
Get out of here, dude.
Come speaking on. Of things you can do,
y'all
when
motherfuckers
you were
are 50. Stop
I know.
It.
You can't Honey. Bounce back like that.
No. Honey. I'm sorry. You cannot go stapling your scrotum this to your leg at 50 years
listen,
old.
Listen, this is why we don't have social health care here.
You could have
because
grandchildren.
Because idiots like this exist.
No.
If I you're, blame you entirely.
If you are grandparent age, mm-mm. you are not allowed to do that shit anymore. Mm-mm. Like, I'm sorry. You're going to break a hip. Sit yeah. down.
Yeah. Listen, I almost popped my hip out just walking the other day. So, and I'm only 42. So I just, I have questions.
Girl, I wasn't even 30. And one time, I wasn't even 30 yet. And we were walking through Disney. And you know, like when you go to Disney, it's like you are walking like 12 miles a day if you're there from like yeah. open to close. Yeah. Right?
You're here for it.
When I tell you my fucking knee and my hip, it was like my right, or my left knee and hip. Mm-hmm. Both of them. I was telling Anthony, I'm like, I think I need to sit down. I was like 28. Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, I'm not trying to do this shit.
No.
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 No. No. No. I'm not trying to ride in a big fucking cart down the hill.
The shit yeah. that they Jesus. Would do. Yeah. They were just like, I don't know, stick some plywood on the end of a diving board and then sit on a skateboard and have someone push you off of it into an empty swimming pool. And you're yeah. like, what the fuck?
And you're
fuck?
Like,
why?
They landed on their head. And it's just like, I.
This is why. No, this is why. This is why they're doing this show again, because they all hit their head a lot.
Oh my God.
They aren't right.
Oh my gosh. Y'all aren't I mean, right. there must be an easier way to get paid.
And they made so much money. That's the other thing is just like, man, even back then, people think that it's. I'm like, everybody pointing fingers, Gen X pointing fingers at like Gen Z about like doing dumb shit. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Exhibit fucking A.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
y'all were making stupid people famous too. Yes. So like, let's talk about that.
And the how. Movie came out in like the year 2000. I was like, God.
Year 2000? Mm-hmm.
I was like, why do I still think that that was like 10 years ago? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa.
No, I'll tell you an experience that happened to me I was on a flight back and I got a Bloody Mary and I showed the guy my ID and he literally said he was like, there's the one, and handed it back to me because it's 2021.
Right.
So if you were born in the last century, that's all they need to see. And I was like, oh, dagger to the heart. I feel a million.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I'm a million years old because people born in the new millennium can drink now.
People born in the year I graduated from high school can now go out and legally have a cocktail.
Yeah. It's
yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
everyone, everyone just got real
depressing
sad.
Note, yeah.
This is my worst date podcast. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie, I guess.
Well, we talked about this a little bit on our stereo after party, Cassie and I, yesterday, but we need to bring you into the conversation.
Okay.
And that is that Reggae Jean, what's his last name?
God. Oh, he's not going to be on Bridgerton season
yes,
two.
Yes, yes.
Also, I did not think that the brother who they're focusing on for season two was that cute, so I'm having trouble being excited about
which,
it.
Which brother are they focusing
they
on?
They all look the same.
The oldest one.
Again, count. The yeah, I didn't like the him. Least interesting one. Yep. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll still watch it.
Most likely.
Me, like, yeah.
I mean, they will. Should have focused on the middle brother because I'm like, that motherfucker is getting up to some freaky shit. You know he is. Mm-hmm.
Shut
yeah. And I'm like, I want the door to be opened on that situation.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. So Chickface likely probably won't really be in it either because I had a feeling that this is what was going to happen. It was going to be like focus on this person and
that's
like
the
their
books
relationship.
Were.
Oh, wait, there's books?
Yeah.
Yes. And so I said, I read all the books. Uh-huh. So it's going to be, I had no clue.
Yes.
There were books.
Yeah. That's
and
how, the, that's how of... the books were. Like they focused on a different Bridgerton sibling every book. Mm. That's what I heard. But they did say they're bringing Daphne back, but she's going to be
like a side character.
Like a
which
side.
Makes, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that he will probably guest on an episode or two, but not coming back as a
I
main
got a place
player.
He can guest. Ayo.
Ooh. Ayo. but I mean,
should we do the Bridgerton brothers?
Oh, so all of them look the same.
I know. I know. How would you differentiate?
It's like different flavors of mayo.
And not a spicy one among them.
No.
Like, there's not a sriracha mayo. Maybe the middle brother gets the closest. Like,
yeah.
He's got a little red pepper chili flake in his mayo, but that's about
different
all.
Different versions of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah,
you're right.
Like, you want home style French vanilla?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. It's yeah, it's all white
soft
bread.
Serve.
All the same flavor.
But I was like, you know, you do you, boo. Like, he only signed to be on for that first season anyway.
Sure.
And, like, he's hot. He's hot right now. So I'm like,
secure the bag.
That's right. Yep. Secure the bag. Yep. Go for it. I'm into it. But he's going to be doing a Dungeons and Dragons movie with Chris Pine.
Well, okay.
I'm actually
I'll watch it.
Intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, I like both of those people. A lot.
I am intrigued.
Yeah. I love Chris
Pine. I think it's a lot of hotness on stage. I mean, on screen, too.
I have a really, really deep place for Chris Pine.
We've talked about the Chris's.
We did.
He's so fucking hot, though. Those fucking piercing blue eyes.
Favorite Chris.
No. No, the least favorite Chris is
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord.
Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
Okay, you're
We had this conversation.
Yeah. Pine over Pratt.
Yes.
You're right.
Oh, always. Hashtag Pine over Pratt.
Always.
Let's start some shit on the internet.
Yeah.
At me.
We're going to make shirts. Hashtag Pine over Pratt.
Oh, no. I mean,
and Hemsworth rules them all.
Oh.
Come on. Am I right?
Yeah, we all had a pause.
Well, here's the thing. I went on record on this very podcast saying that I thought Chris Hemsworth was overrated. I know. You guys blocked that out of your memories.
Yeah, we did. I'm sorry. What did you say?
However, I have since come around on my opinion. I've seen him in some more things. I've seen him in some interviews. And I actually think he's really funny.
It's Ragnarok.
Which like ups his hotness level for me. Like, because I'm like, oh, he has like a really funny kind of like personality.
Yeah.
Which I
he
really
seems
like.
Chill. He seems funny.
Yeah.
A little touch of silly. I like it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he's kind of perfect.
He's got an accent.
Yeah.
So
also.
We're into it.
Yeah. he's pretty perfect. I will say though, Chris Pine has got those dreamy
ass
blue
eyes.
Eyes.
God, yeah.
Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways. Well, should we like fuck, marry, kill since we're kind of in the. In the
headspace for him?
Yeah. I don't know if we can do the Chris's. We've already done the Chris's.
Yeah.
Look, there's never, there are always more Chris's. That's what I've learned.
We did the Matt's.
There's always
too,
more
right?
Chris's. There's always more Michaels. Have we ever done the Michaels?
We did Matt's.
Ooh, Michaels might be fun.
I don't know if we've done Matt's. I don't know. Gosh.
Oh my God, there's so many Michaels.
Of course.
Michael Douglas, Michael J. Fox, Michael Caine, Michael Phelps, Michael Cera.
Michael Myers. Sarah. Yeah, that's my Michael. If we do Michaels, that's hilarious.
Michael B. Jordan. Mike Tyson.
Michael Sheen.
Oh. Wait, Michael.
There's a lot.
He's this dude.
Yeah, okay. Let's do, always very let's do nice Michael's. To me. I think that's great.
Ooh. I think we should definitely... I think Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Right? You bitch.
Yes. Man, he is...
Dreamy.
I like literally am getting like teary and emotional.
Dude,
right now.
God.
Girl. Michael Fassbender does things to me that are like otherworldly.
Here's what I'll say.
Okay.
I'll save it. I'll save it till we have all three of our picks in.
Ugh, I'm so mad at you.
I'm sorry.
No.
Wow.
Just oh, okay. You got furious.
Yoinks.
Well, you know,
his birthday was on the second. He's literally,
he's
Aries. Literally
he's
one
Aries. Oh.
1 year.
Now you took him down a notch.
Oh.
I like you. I like being friends with Aries, but I ain't dating another one.
I understand that. So, I can understand that. I think there's a big difference between a 20 and 30 year old Aries versus like a 30 plus Aries. I really do. I was actually, because I just, one of my coworkers, we were just talking about how neither of us had Aries friends. And I was like, I think in your 20s, you cannot have Aries other Aries friends. Like Aries can't mingle with other Aries. It's too much like, until you're older, and then you can start incorporating a little bit more fire.
I don't know, because we all know a certain Aries who's over 30 and
no
still
but he's not mentally over 30.
Yeah. Let's all right, you real. Had to distinguish.
Let's be real.
All right, we're gonna
right,
put
so
stipulation
Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
And I love him in X-Men.
Well, as funny as I think it would be to go with Michael Cera, just like, hey, blast from the past, which we should do weird early 2000s heartthrobs that shouldn't have been.
Oh,
at
yeah,
some point.
He's definitely
because that's one of them.
Sure.
But I'm going to keep it sexy. I'm going to go Michael B. Jordan.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that was also going to be mine. I was like literally back and forth.
I need to find another sexy Michael then.
I think Michael Sheen's a great option. I thought you were going to pick that, and I was here for it.
You know what? Yeah. I was between him. I was going Michael Sheen or Michael Keaton for that daddy energy.
Oh, but... big daddy energy.
Do you know Michael Stolberg?
No.
Mm-mm.
You know what? I am. I'm going to go Michael Keaton.
Oh,
okay. That was my very first crush. Him and Batman.
You know, I
he was a great Batman.
We've done Michael Keaton before when we did the Batmans.
That's right.
I
think this is different, though.
This is different. It's different.
It's the battle of the Michaels. Okay. All right. Let's get real.
All right, gosh.
I'm a stretch. All right.
Michael Keaton.
Well, I know what I'm gonna do. I know what I'm gonna do.
You do it.
I'm gonna fuck Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Like, I am, because, and I have no basis for this. There's no reason for this.
He's tall.
But there is
sexy.
There is something about him where I'm like, I'm on guard, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm on guard immediately.
Things feel dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm like, that's not marrying energy. Like,
oh,
I'm like,
for
there's
you.
For you. I know. I was like, oh, like raise an eyebrow. Like,
y'all about to sleep with one eye open if you can murder that pussy.
Oh, shit.
Look, man.
I
said I was going to fuck him. Jesus. Lord.
It's too early for this noise.
And none of
shit.
And literally none of us are drinking. I want to put that on the record right now.
I'm going to ruin my full face of makeup, bitch.
All we've had is coffee this morning.
Oh,
that's
man.
It.
Oh my Lord.
I don't know. I've been inhaling a lot of bleach. I cleaned out the bathroom for you guys. So.
Wow. I'm like, so tell me how you really feel.
Oh. She said, I could sleep.
Oh, shit. Well, the thing is, there is energy about Michael Fassbender. Maybe it's because he was in Shame, that movie that was about like sex addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Where I'm like, this man, text messages are going to come out. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be like some shit. You know what I mean? Like, where I'm like, I'm going to find out that this man is cheating on me on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's how I'm going to find out.
I don't like that.
You know?
Damn, it's hammer time.
Oh,
I mean,
shit.
And again,
exactly.
Listen, for all of the Dr. TJ fossils out there, I don't know this man. I don't know this man.
Why do we have to give disclaimers?
Okay.
I wonder if people listen to this thinking we actually know specific personality traits for all the people that we talk shit about.
I'm not trying to slander Michael Fassbender.
So well connected.
Good name. Okay. He's probably... He might be just like the most devoted family man, has never cheated on somebody in his life. He does seem lovely in interviews. He absolutely does. All I'm talking about,
but he also does look like he could.
All I'm talking about is
Ralph in the bedroom.
Is an energy, right? Yes. Like that's all I'm saying is there's like an energy there that for me is like I'm scared, right?
Which Jane Austen movie was he in?
He was not, it wasn't a Jane Austen movie. He was in Jane Eyre.
That's right.
He played Rochester in Jane Eyre. Oh. And you know how I feel about Jane Eyre. You know how I feel about it. So I love it. I feel bad for talking shit. I just have to give my personal vibe check opinion.
Great.
So I'm going to fuck him for sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. And it will. I'll need to put it in my scrapbook, okay? Because that's a memory. You got a bookmark.
You're doing something for the first time.
Oh yeah, yes.
Fassbender. You're like, I've never done that before.
That man looks like he has stamina too. Like,
yeah,
but
God damn,
yeah, he's gonna be able to hold you up and do some crazy shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? So yes, love it.
I love walls.
Into it. Oh yes.
I don't know. It would take me so long to get there just because I'd be like, I don't deserve
this. I'm scared.
I don't deserve this.
Have you seen calling the podcast that? I'm calling this episode that. I don't deserve this. I totally get where you're coming from.
Me too. Me too. Yes. I feel like you get stage fright with people who are that high above your pay grade.
Oh my God.
You know,
that is so true.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Who are you gonna marry?
Oh, I'm gonna marry Michael B. Jordan.
Oh
yeah,
that's a good call.
Gotta do it. He seems like a sweetie.
Dude.
Like I get sweet energy from him. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's complete opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but I get good sweet energy. I don't know if it's that kilowatt smile.
Power couple vibes.
Yes.
You and Michael B. Jordan together. Yes. I don't know if the world's ready for that kind of thing.
I don't know.
Gonna dominate. Yes. I feel like it would be a good, solid union.
I feel like you guys would start like an amazing charity together.
A nonprofit.
Oh God, so much. Oh, helping so many kids.
I just fell asleep. I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
Oh my God. Jesus. And then yes, Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton, but you know, it's not exciting me.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything like super exciting for me. So gonna kill him. Kill MK.
I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to mix this shit up.
Oh, yeah. God. I know.
Because I want to do it. I want to fuck Michael Keaton. I think it's just something about Michael Keaton ever since I was a kid.
I feel like you and I are going to do the same thing.
Oh, no.
It's blowing my fucking mind.
Michael Keaton, there is something.
There is something. He has a way of like, the way he like, a little bit of an arch to the eyebrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he's going to fuck you mind, body, and soul.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not looking great these days.
No, listen. I'm thinking like prime time here. Like,
I never was into Michael Keaton. I have to be honest. Like,
sure.
I never thought he was hot.
You don't have daddy issues like I do. It's fine. I get it.
Touche. God, yeah, because he rocks a pair of dad jeans.
Dude, he salt and pepper.
He looks all right.
Like, I can't mad at him.
He doesn't look bad. It's nothing against Michael Keaton.
Listen, I'm going to fuck him. And I'm going to marry Fassbender.
Y'all are fucking your lives up right now. I'm telling you.
And listen, maybe it's because I got up too early, put on a face, and somehow thought I deserved
bad
this
bitch.
Shit.
You got bad bitch energy with your eyeliner.
I'm
what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put makeup on today. So I'm going to marry Fassbender. I will.
Aries on Aries energy. God, we're not ready for the chaotic.
The world will set fire.
Oh, God.
It will be a blaze.
Yeah.
We will fight. We will have to have such a big house so that we don't see each other.
Uh-huh.
Until we want to.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have a sex dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that Zillow.
I should. Wild. If I knew what was good for me and I hadn't put makeup on this morning, I would be with Michael B. Jordan right now.
He's the sensible choice. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. We would have a beautiful home. Mm-hmm. He would likely want me to have children, which I think is not something I'm here for. But, you know, I would do it for him because he deserves it. But what I'm doing right now.
Because he deserves it.
What I'm doing right now is making a choice for myself.
Being selfish. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makeup me is selfish me.
You have the most manic eyes I've ever seen right now.
I put makeup on, bitch.
And contacts. You're like, listen.
My eyes are green. Do you see this?
I was thinking about it while you were talking. I'm going to mix it up just a little bit.
Okay. I know what you're going to do.
I'm actually going to marry Michael Keaton.
I knew it. Something full circle about
having a crush on him in Batman. Ugh. And I'm just looking at this picture specifically.
I got to be honest. I got to be honest and say I understand making the choice to marry Michael Keaton before I understand making the choice to fuck Michael Keaton.
You know what? Everybody makes their own decisions. Yes. Keegan, okay?
We do. Yes. And look.
You know what? You worry about you.
To each their own. I have made some very questionable calls on this very podcast.
Listen, I'm spicing it up with little Zatarain.
Michael Keaton seems like the kind of person that has like... many bottles of expensive wine.
Yes, he's got a wine cellar.
Yes.
And
yes.
No, he's going to, not just wine. He's got best bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
Best whiskey.
Yes.
Best scotch.
Yes.
And they're all in glass decanters.
I feel like he knows how to cook. Oh, you know what I mean?
I might be changing my mind over here.
Yeah. He's gonna make you some gourmet shit.
I'm sitting at, in my head, his kitchen has a beautiful island.
Huge island.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at
the
island.
Brothers did it.
He poured me this beautiful, expensive red.
Yes.
And he's cooking.
Mm. He's your vibe for sure, Christina. As far as marrying, I see that for you. Yes.
Michael Keaton, you guys are going to, and we're going to love going.
And you know what? I love that we've all chosen to marry different people because when we do like couples parties at each other's houses, the vibe
you'll
is
never
gonna
see
be,
Michael and I. We will be in the.
So sorry for flirting with your husband.
Same.
Dude, you will never
hard
see
is
my.
It to be the one with a fucking hot husband. Dude,
where you're always like,
I will only be wearing red slip dresses for the rest of my life and only just hanging on him. Like
you're going to have a bottle. You're going to have a glass of wine everywhere you go. Yeah. See, here's the vibes, right?
Yes,
like we're going to be at me and Michael B's house during the day for like a pool party, basketball and like
grilling out.
Yep. Right. Like that's good. And we're going to have that's our vibe. We're going to play charades. That's going to be our thing.
We're the vacation home. We only go there because you're not coming to a real home. We don't want you to accidentally stumble into that dungeon. So we're the vacation home. We have that place in Aspen that we go to on like weekends and shit. And and we host like it's gonna be fun.
And shit gets
it's gonna
sexy.
Be more like a cocaine party.
Yeah, we're having sexy. We're having sexy like conversations.
Yes,
at
in our
Cassie
big ass hot tub,
Fassbender's house, right? Yes,
Cassie
yes.
Fassbender. I like it. It sounds
nice
real
bring
good.
To it.
Cassandra Fassbender.
Oh, that sounds great.
You would have to go by Cassandra.
I think I'm a fancy bitch now, so.
Well, I'm fucking your husband.
God damn it.
I'm fucking God.
You gotta do it.
You gotta do it. I mean.
Listen.
Dude. I'm not even mad.
Some people
I feel like I'd be open to that.
Some people.
I need you to experience.
You lent him for the weekend. You're like, look, you just gotta try it out. Take it for a spin around the neighborhood.
Take her for a ride. Take her for a spin.
I'm leasing it.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, some people. Have like want to climb Everest or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to fuck Fassbender.
Sure.
I just feel like that's my Valid.
Everest. Valid.
Everest. My Everest. And then, yeah, I think he's so nice. I think he's like amazing. It's just like a bad match for me. Yeah. I would love.
He I is barbecue party. Him,
but Fassbender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't.
I understand. Listen, I understand. And I will let him know when I see him. For all the listeners who think that we know these people personally, I will take this information back to Michael B.
Yeah.
In form of your decision.
You call him MB for short.
MB.
At home. Yeah. Hey, M.
MBJ.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Yes.
Yeah. We're back.
This is that makeup energy. It's like chaotic Aries energy. Mm-hmm. And we're back, Cassie. Kick us off with stories.
This bitch thinks she can do whatever she wants. She got makeup on today. All right. So this is a story I got from Reddit. It says, I went to a small liberal arts university and knew just about everyone. I didn't want to date another student, which made pickings slim for me. My sorority was throwing a party and some off-campus guys showed up. I got to talking to one of them. He was cute, charming, seemed motivated, though a bit dumber than I typically go for.
Wow.
Yeah, she's giving me energy.
She came in hot. She came in real hot. Yeah, she did. She's like, I got standards. I don't want to date anybody from this college.
Right.
This guy's dumb as rocks. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
After spending most of the party chit-chatting, we decided to go out on a date the following night. I got a call from Don Juan at 4 p.m. asking if I could pick him up at home. He said his car had been stolen. I said, no problem. He told me.
Why does this happen? Why is this a consistent theme?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In stories.
He had told me about what neighborhood he lived in the night before, and it was about 15 minutes away. I asked for the address, and he said he would text it to me. He gave me directions, too. Nothing too complicated. I drive 15 minutes east to get to his house. Mom answers and said he wasn't there, but he was out with his girlfriend.
Oh. Oh, honey. At least you got to coordinate better.
Oh, wow. Right.
Okay. Bit soon for that, but maybe mom can't keep track of details. I call him back. He said he's at a friend's house, gave me the wrong address, force of habit, yada, yada, yada.
Stop it. Mm-hmm. That's now you're wasting my time. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which that's my biggest pet peeve is just like my time is being wasted. No.
I finally get to his friend's house. It's another 15 minutes northeast and drive up to what looks like guys' night. Eight dudes topless in a garage with scary dogs, beer, loud music, and way too much weed in the air for the cops to not be on their way.
Oh, honey.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. Yeah. I've been in that party. There.
Same.
Yeah, exactly.
100. Listen, I grew up in the country.
Yes.
Like, I have for sure pulled up on this party. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was not to pick up a date, though, thank God.
I've picked up boyfriends from these parties before.
Same.
Yes.
Oh,
same,
yeah.
Same.
Wow. Anyway, I got out of my truck and get a ton of lewd comments, whistles, and stares from the posse.
Not okay gross. With this.
No. The words, fuck this, flashed through my mind, yes. And I got back in my truck and drive away.
Yep.
Here is where I should mention that my stereo is way too loud, and I got a good 3 blocks before I realized that there is someone rolling around in the back of my truck.
Oh my God. Stop it.
I pulled over and boy is in the back.
Get out.
He apologizes profusely and said he'd had a hard day. Asks if he can make it up to me. I believe him. He is still in last night's party clothes.
In my car.
He is still in last night's party clothes and not looking so fresh. I really wanted to see the movie that was out, though, and I was already dressed, so I said, okay. Driving southwest. I love that when she's giving us directions. Driving southwest, about 30 minutes to the movies. He asks me to pull over to a gas station. I did. He goes in, comes out with gum, and we drive on. By this time, I'm thinking the gum was a waste. I'm not going to kiss this mossy animal.
He for sure bought condoms, too, at the same time.
Absolutely.
He bought gum and condoms, yes.
Oh, dude, the unabashed confidence that you need to jump into someone's truck like you're fucking stowaway. Yeah, he definitely is like, I'm getting in the pussy tonight.
Oh, fuck. Oh, your unwashed dick can stay away from me. No.
God, I know it's unwashed.
Of course it is. It smells like skunk weed. No.
Ew. We get to the theater and he hops out and I start, in my mind, he hops out. I imagine he still had him in the back of the truck. Like, I didn't let him inside that show.
I mean.
Got to the theater, he hops out, and I start walking to the box office. I turn around, and no more than 150 feet from the front of the theater, he is peeing in the bushes.
No.
I told him to walk home. I was done. For a second, I get this puppy face from him, and he said something I don't know what. And I step aside so he can get tickets. Obviously, whatever he said turned things around because she's like, fine.
Okay.
He said, no worry. He had swung by earlier and bought the tickets. We get to the front and there are no tickets. His brother is working the front door and lets us in. He then asks me to give him $8 to repay him for getting me in.
You're going to make a profit. He's child. Making a profit.
Yeah. Yes. He's like, this date is going to be profitable.
Oh.
Step one.
The audacity.
Right?
The absolute audacity.
I want this kind of confidence. I really do.
Just a tenth of it.
Yeah. Nope. Did I mention I really wanted to see this movie?
Okay. No movie is worth this, honey. Go on your own.
Go buy your own ticket.
Go with a girlfriend.
It'd be worth it.
What are you doing?
Okay, so in the theater, I sit. He sits next to me 10 minutes in, and I can hear cans, plural, opening at the gas station. He had purchased 2 cans of beer and stuffed them in his pockets.
Oh, my God.
I had not noticed.
Oh, my God.
He looks at me, burps, and said he thought about getting me one. But I had to be able to drive him home.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I get up, bought myself a soda and some Junior Mints. I love it. By now, I'm just along for the ride to see how bad things can get. And well, the movie, halfway through, I hear the sound of beer cans rolling down the sloped floor in the theater. Clink, 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 clink. The movie ends. And he is asleep, snoring.
Bye.
Leave him.
I tried to shake
him
awake.
Your brother works here, so he can take you home.
Exactly.
How about that?
I tried to shake him awake and notice his pants are undone and his hand is on his unit. There it was. He looked like he was holding on to a teddy bear.
Please.
A small, cheesy purple one.
Why is it purple?
Why is it cheesy?
I got up, walked out, passed the brother on the way out. He asked where his brother was, and I said he's passed out masturbating in Theater 6. Brother called me a twat. Twat.
Are you fucking...
Keep in mind, he's an employee, and I was a guest.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Same, girl. Same.
Like, in college, who knows? Like, at college age, I don't know.
Maybe
but, like,
not.
Like
but today
I wish you would.
That would have fully gotten it. Excuse me?
Yeah. What'd you just say to me?
You'd get makeup crazy eyes.
Yes.
Manic shit. This is what... I drove home, took a very long shower, and never saw or heard of that loser again.
Yeah. No, that's a full-on lot to take on. Somebody stowed it away in the back of your truck.
Don't like it.
Wow.
Also... What was he wearing, like JNCO jeans? Like, how did he get the beer in his? How did
he
smuggle it in?
Now he is. Yeah. Definitely cargo pants.
I was thinking like that guy wears cargo pants for sure.
He's wearing cargo pants and flip flops, right?
Oh, 100. I was thinking like a jacket pocket, but no, it's definitely cargo pants.
Oh.
It's probably the cargo pants that like zip off into shorts.
I had a pair of those.
Of course you did.
I had a pair of those that were army camo patterned.
Pink, really pink camo.
No, they were because I thought I was hashtag not like the other girls, and I bought them in the men's section, the boys section. Mm-hmm. They were boys shorts. Oh God, I have pictures. It's bad.
I've been watching. Because we've reached, you know, the end of pandemic and I've finished just about every platform that you can have.
Right.
So Eric started putting on this show called Moonshiners. Have you heard of it?
Is it what it sounds like?
Is it
a reality show where they follow moonshiners?
Yes.
Of course it is.
So one of the guys, his name's Tickle. And he rides in the back of the truck a lot.
Honey.
Of course he does.
Honey, so, can we never
the whole time
tickle?
You're telling this story, I'm thinking about Tickle from
what
Moonshiners.
No, what if you dated a man named Tickle?
One of the other main characters
is named Popcorn.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that I can handle. Tickle?
Tickle
better get the fuck away from me.
Is Joe Biden telling this story about when he was a lifeguard? And he's like, when Tickle came around with popcorn.
Get out of here. Get out of here, Tickle.
No.
Yeah.
It gives me all the heebie-jeebies.
That show was that story was about going on a date with Tickle.
Oh my god,
Tickle!
This actually, well, for real, like that guy grew up to be a moonshiner.
Yep,
he changed his name to Tickle.
Mm-hmm. He didn't grow up.
Good got point.
Older. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
He aged up.
All right, this story's from Reddit. On the 4th of July this year, I gave in and agreed to go watch the fireworks in downtown with this guy who had been asking me out for weeks. I wasn't all that into him, but persistence and lack of planning played to his favor.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
That'll happen. That'll get you.
Those are the best dates, the ones you're not really into.
Things will be fun.
That went wrong. One, I guess wording is everything, because he never actually said we were going to go downtown to watch the fireworks. I got to his place and was disappointed to find out we were watching them from his apartment balcony.
Oh, no.
I was raised to always bring something to eat or drink to a get-together. So yep. I brought some good beer. It wound up being the only thing to drink all night. I didn't find out he was planning on us staying the whole time at his place until I was in no position to drive. I wound up so bored I nearly fell asleep despite the constant popping noises from the fireworks being set off all over the place.
You know, this is one of those low-key terrible dates because, yeah. like, yes, the date that Cassie just told is terrible, but this is almost worse. Like, I don't want to be in
just like sitting bored with a guy, like someone that's into, and you're just like, I'm not into you, and you kind of feel guilty, but you're also bored and irritated. It's a whole
this is almost a whole worse vibe. Yeah. Because at least the other one, you're like, well, we're moving at breakneck speed, and like at least
it's entertaining.
At least you have a story to tell later. Like this is like. I don't know what else happens in the story, but like this is just one you go home to your girlfriends and you're like, ugh, I just wasted a night. You know what I mean?
I could have hung with friends.
These are the way common ones. Yeah. The ugh. Night wasters, ugh. For sure. To make matters worse, in an attempt to be suave or whatever, he invited me not to sit next to him or stand near him, but to sit on his lap as... And I quote, since this is burned into my brain, I got something that'll keep you from falling asleep.
No. Oh, God.
No. Honey, you're not Michael Fassbender.
Nobody is. I stopped bothering to keep track of how many trees he smoked at four bowls.
Holy shit.
On his own?
Yes.
Holy shit. He's, what?
Dude,
you're going to have to take him to the hospital.
Like, yeah. Dude. Not that I'm against that stuff, just that that's an awful lot on any date, let alone a begrudgingly granted first date.
Ugh.
Oh, Andy kept talking about how fireworks attract aliens.
Okay.
All night.
You buried the lead.
What? That's what you come in hot with. You don't fucking... Oh, by the way. Oh, BT Dubs. He talked about... What?
I'm going to need you to go into more detail. And I can only imagine it must have gotten like more and more bananas as the night went on and he got higher and higher.
Oh,
like,
yeah. She says, I would have blamed it on the trees, but his apartment was lined with stacks and stacks of conspiracy theory books.
No.
Run, girl.
No, run.
Run? Are you kidding? I'm like, oh, no. I want to hear all.
I'm really glad you didn't get murdered whenever you were out dating.
I had lots of concerns. There were days where I was like,
somebody safety check.
Yes. Full safety check. I'm going to go to the house. I haven't heard from her.
Sometimes I love people's
D's. Got to live on the edge.
Yeah. You know, a little bit of their theories and stuff like that. Make me laugh. So, although I never texted or called him again, about once per month, he still tries to get me to go on another date with him. Dude, how about no?
I also, what is that? Like, what is that where, like, man, at some point, does your pride not kick in where you're like, you know what? I've asked this person four times. I've asked this person once a month. I have a monthly reminder set up on my phone to text this person. They have declined or not responded every single time. What?
Yeah.
Is wrong with you that you continue to reach out?
Right. Yeah. I've never understood that.
Yeah.
Because my ego wouldn't allow it. Like after like the first or second time, I would be like, all right, well, you know what? I'm just going to block that, you know? Yeah.
That never happened.
I don't know what that is. And I feel like you guys can relate I don't want to say like overly self-conscious, but like where I'm like, I don't want to bother. You know what I mean?
100.
I don't
want to get bothered. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like constantly worried, even with close friends.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I don't want to overstep.
Right.
Or like if it's an issue, no worries. No worries at all.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
We're fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Even if we send a text that seems slightly off color, we're like, that's how I meant it. Yeah. I just want you to know that like I'm really like, I love you guys.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm like hypersensitive to... Like if I did that and someone didn't respond, maybe even trying one more time, but then I would definitely be like, oh, I'm bothering them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and you see that all the time on the internet where like there will be people in your DMs that are like, hey, no. 2 weeks go by. Hey,
no,
another 2 weeks. Hey. And you're like, what aren't you getting? Like what's happening here? Like,
what do you think? I'm going to come in like a week from now be like, oh my God, I just saw that.
I missed all 27 of your messages. And even if I had, now I'm not responding because you look insane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that now because now you texted me 27 times.
It's weird.
It's weird. Okay. Alrighty.
I would like to respond with not interested.
Unsubscribe.
No.
Stop. Oh God. Okay. I was having a lot of fun at a punk concert with a Tinder date.
Perfect.
Yeah, sounds good. We were moving from gin and tonics to beer when he suddenly showed up with shots. I thought, why not?
Shot.
How many stories have, you know,
gone
to the left with some shots? Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. After the concert, we went to his place, did the deed, and passed out.
No, that sounds perfect.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
At 3:30 a.m., I woke up with throbbing pain in my ankle and couldn't put any weight on it. I thought it was broken, maybe because someone had jumped on it when we were dancing. It sounds like a punk concert, right? Yep. Like you wake up with bruises and cuts like, and you're like, what happened last night? You know, half asleep and still tipsy, I hopped into his kitchen and grabbed frozen spinach. I went back to bed, laid the spinach on my ankle, and immediately fell back to sleep. The next morning, there was spinach everywhere.
In
his sheets, all over his floor, even in the cracks of his wicker bed frame. Just spinach. just spinach carnage everywhere. Like,
oh my God, how rough do you sleep?
No, that's me.
That's why your ankle hurts, bitch.
I know. Oh my God.
He looked at me and just said, what the fuck?
Yes.
Yes. I got out of there as fast as possible.
Oh, no.
And he didn't even help me hobble down the stairs. Well, that's not very nice. An emergency clinic confirmed that I had fractured my foot. And I never heard from my date again.
Well, I mean, you gotta say, you wake up after a night.
And at least explain.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I'm out.
He could have been cool with the explanation.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he's picking spinach out of his like...
Still.
Yes, to this day.
To this day.
He's still finding pieces of spinach. He's having to explain to new Tinder dates why they're picking spinach out of their hair, you know?
Oh,
like,
no.
Spinach out of their hair. Like, I'm actually Popeye.
Oh, God. Oh, wait, you guys ready for me?
We're just looking at you expectantly.
Hold on, I gotta find the...
Okay. We're ready.
Right. I have had this one on my roster for a long time.
Yeah, you texted you were ready with it like
beginning
Monday. Of the week.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
Which thank God, because I was like, I have 5 free seconds. I'm going to do my research and get this done. Thank God I did.
That's smart.
Yes. It's funny because I'm so exhausted yet feel very accomplished.
Oh, it's exhilarating, you know? When you feel like you're being productive in that way too. So
yeah. There was I finished my midterm paper. It was just like it was like a very weight lifted, like breathe. I finally did, and I'm like, and I was so nervous that I was going to forget to do my story. So that's the other part. Mm-hmm. So I had that hanging over me of like, don't forget to do your story. But I have had this on my roster for a while, like the idea to do this one. And when I tell you that I couldn't find it because I initially had thought it had been a Dateline that I had listened to. And that's where I'd really heard the first story. But I couldn't find it in Dateline. I'm actually pretty positive that Dateline never did it. So I don't know
Interesting. Okay.
Where I heard this story from. I truly, I would give credit if I knew where I initially heard the story, but I don't know. But I did, in my Google search, had the keywords in and was able to find that there was an episode of Buried in the Backyard about this story.
Okay.
Okay.
And that, and I found quite a few articles online, different resources. Mostly, though, it Buried in the Backyard gave me all the details that I remembered. And so this is okay. So it all starts out Long Island, New York, Jericho, New York. Ron Cohen, it's 1999. He is doing a final walkthrough of his house with the new people that are going to be buying this house and the real estate agent, right? So he's just kind of like, he has a young family, a couple kids. They're ready to move into something a little bit bigger, a little bit more established.
I know the story.
Do you? It's
in the basement. In the
crawl space.
In the barrel.
Yes.
With the flower.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a.
What did I hear this on?
I believe it's either a Forensic Files or a Cold Case file.
There might be a Forensic Files about this. I think you're right.
I think it's a Forensic Files.
I don't think I know this. So okay.
So he's walking. Okay. So he and his family decide that they're going to upgrade. They're going to get a bigger house. He's doing this walkthrough. They're walking around and there's this like crawl space that's on the outside entrance, right? And the guy, the new owner, was like, hey, can you clear out everything in here so that before we move in? And dude was like, yeah, I guess. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you have a crawl space. You're selling your home. Get all your shit out, brah. Mm-hmm. He's like, we only use the crawl space for things like coolers and like chairs.
I always thought that was strange. When my parents bought their house, the guy who owned the house before us, he didn't clean out. There's a detached garage. And he didn't clean it out at all. Like, why? It was full of his shit.
That's
like,
fucking weird.
I don't know.
To me.
It's strange. It is strange. And I went through that stuff and we found some weird stuff in there, let me tell you. So he also left a huge bag of weed, which my mom quickly got rid of.
I'm like, God damn it.
Mom, we could be making money.
By got rid of, she.
No, not Tammy Sue. She's not about that life.
Don't you talk about Tammy Sue like that. At any rate, so he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he gets in, he goes through this crawl space, he's getting everything out, and he finds this big barrel that he'd never seen before, kind of tucked away in the back under like where the stairs would have been. It was nothing he'd ever seen before. It was like way in the back. And he was like, this is fucking weird. I've never seen this fucking barrel before. So he calls a friend and he's like, hey, Broheem. Hey, bros. Would you mind helping?
Pizza and beer.
Yeah, right. He's like, help me like move this shit out. Well, they couldn't even get it. So he had to like reach out to the movers of the place who helped him move all his stuff. And we're like, can you get a group of guys who can get this barrel out? I mean, I have like waste management's going to come. They're going to come pick it up. If we can just get it to the curb, right? Great. So they do. And waste management stops by and they're like, here's a note. Mm-hmm. Note says, nah, bruh, that thing is too fucking heavy. You need to disperse into multiple things or you need to get rid of it some other way.
No.
Because it's too fucking heavy. No. So finally he's like, hey, Broseph, can you come back over? I need to open this up and disperse into multiple containers, right?
What a fucking nightmare.
A nightmare.
They pop open the lid.
No.
And it's full of green liquid.
No.
And at the very top, they see a shoe.
No.
Yeah. Well, guess what? That shoe has a foot in it.
Goodbye.
Yeah. So they call 911 fucking one.
Yeah.
And
And the police come and they're like, well, and at that point too, they're like, we're pretty sure there's a body in here, but
we ain't digging.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
We're not bobbing for green body
liquid?
Parts.
Not today. So the police come. They open the barrel. Not only do they see the foot, they also see a leathery hand. So they're like, yeah, we're pretty sure this is a body.
I'm fairly certain it's like either a Forensic File or a Cold Case file. Because when they talk about what they have to do to get that fucking body out of the barrel.
Yeah. I've also seen something about this as well on YouTube when I was on my YouTube rabbit hole. You die in that house. Like, why would you ever? Anyway, I'm sure we'll get to it, but
The funny thing too is that on The Buried in the Backyard, the guy who owned the house, Cohen, he talks about like how his wife was to say that the house is haunted, like weird things happened. And so now this does not, like, literally that night they're like, we'll never fucking come back here again. Like, yeah, we know for sure. Like, there's some weird ass shit.
That was like some Stir of Echo shit. Yes. Where she was like, I'm in the basement. Right. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Oh, totally.
Ugh. Ugh. So anyway, they take the barrel back to their forensics lab, and they, you know, it's enormous. It's heavy. It's a 50 gallon barrel. It is, you know, has a dead body in it. So they have to like put it on its side, drain it of its liquid, and it's all this green liquid and like these pellets, like these kind of cheap plastic pellets. And so they're like, this is, you know, weird. They had to put like this big sheeting down to like get it out. They had to struggle to pull out the body. The body is mummified and bent over. And so they are, it's just like, they show a picture and it's just this kind of mummified body, almost in a fetal position.
Terrifying.
It's so sad. So they take the body itself and they do some x-rays and things like that, and they realize that the body actually also has skeletal remains inside of it.
Oh yes, okay.
Skeletal remains of a 9-month fetus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a fully developed fetus, and this woman is pregnant.
I remember this now.
Also in the barrel they find a few other things. One of the things that they found was they found a weird like stem from like, it looks like a stem from a rose, right? Yeah. Like, so it's a plastic stem with like little leaves stemming from it, right? So, but it's just a small section. So they're like, they set that aside and they're like, okay, that's weird. Maybe it has something to do with it. Noted. Put a pin in that, exactly. And then they also find that the woman has her purse, like a clutch purse in there. They also determine almost right away that this is a woman from like the 60s or 70s. Like, this is a very, what she was wearing, it was very indicative of the time frame. It was, you know, so they're pretty much putting like a very clear timeline on where this body is from. They find in her purse just like makeup, accessories, things like that. But the other thing that they find is a little tiny phone book, which I remember from being a kid. I always had like one of those little tiny phone books that you carry around, like mom's phone number, my best friend Sarah.
Yes, you know? I had one too.
Simpler times.
Right. It is soaking wet. And there is, I mean, it's so fragile and it's been in liquid for who knows how many years.
This
right?
sounds at like a Forensic Files for real. Because they were like, they had to delicately.
So they did. The forensics team was like, well, we have somebody that does like paper bounds and books and
restoration
and things like that. Yeah. So they have an oven in which they can dry it out. They're like, no promises. This is 30 years in liquid. We'll do what we can. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the things that they are able to determine right away is the barrel, right? So they're looking at the barrel. The barrel is something they can, you know, get information on right away. It's a 55 gallon, thank you, barrel. And so they're like, there's numbers on the side, there's little tells. And so they're able to track down the manufacturer of the fucking barrel. This company's like, oh yeah, that barrel was made in X date on X date, and we sold that barrel to this company.
Isn't it fast? That stuff is so interesting to me.
Love that kind of thing. That's what you watch Forensic Files for. And this is why this is such a classic case that's like burned into my brain.
Yeah.
Because it was such a like detective-y kind of thing.
And
because
they're able to track down all the things. Yeah. It's like putting it, this is a, like truly the epitome of putting a puzzle together.
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they literally are able to just consistently put puzzle piece in. It's so gratifying to see. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're talking about a company that has been keeping records and track. I'd like,
well, 70s.
I mean, the 60s, right? Yeah. Like, so you have a company that's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, let me look that
Someone
up.
Someone had to go to their file cabinet. They blew dust off that shit. They were like, you know, started flipping through.
Janice, can you go check the files?
She put on her big, thick barrel. Glasses that have the chain. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like licking your fingers.
Yes.
Yes, Janice, nails. Queen.
Red manicured nails.
Yes, that's what was in my head.
Yep. And Janice found that file and was like, yes, we sold that barrel specifically to a company that manufactures chemicals that are used in dyeing plastics. Mm. Well, the cops are like, huh, that's weird because we found that green plastic flower and the liquid was green. And they were like, yeah, that's specifically used for those chemicals. This is the company we sold it to on this date. So they go to that company. That company is like, oh, yeah, that's a chemical that we make. And we sold that barrel to this plastic making company that makes plastic flowers. They're like, interessante. Wow. Okay. So they're going through a little bit of their record books of who has owned this house in Jericho, New York. And they keep tracking down. And they see that in the records, there is an addition that has been built in the 80s. Well, that's where they found the body. So they're like, what's going on with that? This has to be the person that did this, right? So they go see Dudeface, who I will find in a second. Hold on. All my notes are a little all over the place. Okay. So they go see the second owner. His name's Arthur Eben. And he immediately is like, I didn't build that extension. And the cops were like, oh, okay. Here's your fucking track record. Yeah. Here's all the paperwork that was filed in the office by you for this fucking extension. And he's like, no, I'm telling you that when I bought this house, that extension was already built. What I did was bring it up to code by putting those orders in. They're like, and he's like, but the previous owner, Howard Elkins, he used to work in the city. He owned a company called Melrose Plastics with his partner, and they sold in 1971. The company made plastic flowers.
These detectives are just like checking things off their list.
They're like, what'd you say again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Licks his pencil end.
Let me write that down real fast.
Yeah.
How do you spell that? E-L-K-I-N-S?
Yeah. got it. Yeah. Meanwhile, the forensics team comes back with the book and they're like, hey, your little teeny tiny book, we got the first page open. Here is a number.
Ooh, well, I love this shit. Like, yeah. Ooh, finding old phone numbers and names. Oh,
well, they found on the first page an A number. An A number is an alien number that used to be used for registering people when they come into the country, right? One of the things that they noticed about the body right away is that it had some dental work, 4 gold teeth right in the front. And they were like, that is not consistent with North American dental work. It seems more consistent with like Central American dental work, right? So they had a feeling that she might have been an alien. It's such a weird word.
An immigrant,
right? Mm-hmm. But the A number, like I said, they're able to confirm that she was by going to the immigration office and we're like, hey, we have this A number. And they're like, beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Janice again. Janice works in multiple places. Yes. She gets on that
typewriter. It's her night job.
Yeah. Clickety, 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 click. And she's like, holy shit, this is definitely an immigrant. And her name is, if I can get back to it.
Like Maria something, isn't it?
Reina. Reina Marquen. Oh, there it is. Reina Marquen. So she's like, this is Reina Marquen. That she's from El Salvador. She definitely immigrated into New York in 1966. But in 1968, funny enough, her family had stopped hearing from her. So this is all timelining.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like, and this is in New Jersey, right?
This is in New York.
Well, she immigrated to New York and the house is in New York or New Jersey?
New York.
Okay.
Long Island.
Okay.
Wait for it, Keegan. Don't be just trying to tell my story.
I'm sorry. I'm not. Gosh. I forgot.
So they get that identity right away. They now know that Howard Elkins owned the house. He made flowers. That was his company.
It's all coming up
together, right? The other thing that they are able to ascertain from the phone book is they find a few numbers that they can piece together, right? And they're going through and they're dialing these numbers. I mean, again, 30 years, probably landlines.
People have moved.
Right. Yeah. This is not. So they're
this
not.
This is the, one of the coolest parts of the story, too.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So they finally pick this one phone number. It's Kathy Andrade. And she answered the phone and she's like, oh, my gosh. Yes, I know Raina Marquin. She is my best friend. And I haven't heard from her in over 30 years. And they're like, well, we got some questions for you. And so they go to Kathy's house and Kathy, you know, sits down with them and they interview Kathy on the story, too. And
poor Kathy.
Bless her heart. They became immediate friends when Raina had moved to New York because they're both from El Salvador. They're both, you know, Spanish speaking. Kathy spoke about a little bit better English, so she was able to kind of help Raina along. They, you know, both worked in factories. They just became really fast friends. The one thing that Kathy knew, though, immediately is that Raina had been staying in a Catholic homes facility in New York. That's where that's where she was staying, and that she had to move because she had just found out she was pregnant, and there's no way she would have been able to stay there. But she was also, and who she was pregnant by was a married man. She knew that the man was married and that he had promised to leave his wife, and he put her up in an apartment where, Keegan?
In New Jersey?
Yes.
New Jersey.
So he gets her a flat in New Jersey and puts her up, and this is her new apartment. And so she's able to commute back and forth into the city. And she, you know, Kathy doesn't know this guy. She'd never really met him. So she doesn't really know much about this person, but she does know he's married, and she does know that her friend had called her on an evening in the late 60s and was like, hey, I've had enough. I called Dudeface's wife.
Ooh.
And told her what was happening.
Ooh-wee.
At any rate, so she was super frightened. So she said, I'm really scared that he's very upset. And I'm afraid that he may do something. So Kathy's like, got it, on my way, just like any of us would be. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. So she gets to Raina's house and knocks on the door. Door's unlocked. So she goes inside and she's like, hey, Raina, you here? She goes to the dinner table and there's warm food that has probably just been laid out.
Oh.
So she's like, okay, well, maybe she ran down to the grocery store to grab something real quick, left the door unlocked for me, knowing I was coming. She'll be right back, right? So she hangs out for an hour, 2 hours.
This part hit me because I thought, what would I do in this situation if it was one of you, or, you know, vice versa?
Yeah.
And this is like pre-cell phone, so I played consequences with this part, where I was just like, I would do that. I would sit and wait. But
how long do you wait for?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I imagine.
And then you're afraid
this
to leave, because then at some point you're like, well, if I leave and she comes back.
Right. Yeah. And there is a sense, like, I feel like you would have this sense of the warm food thing is the thing where, like, you have an immediate sense of
concern,
foreboding.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, immediately. But I think we as humans tend to try not to, like, catastrophize. So, like, we're like, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. Let's try and find a solution that is less scary.
Because I was like, nowadays, I would 911 motherfucking one immediately, because I'm just like, given the context of the phone call.
Yes.
And if I have come in with the warm food and haven't been, I would rather 911 fucking one and be wrong.
Yeah.
Then not do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a hindsight thing that you can easily say. But I agree with Keegan. I think that probably if I was in that moment, I would have sat there for an hour, 2 hours, just being like, maybe an hour or 2 hours is too long. Maybe like,
I would say maybe an hour. I could give myself an hour, you know, because it is time before cell phones, and I think you don't want to believe that something really terrible has happened.
It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but, you know, I think after an hour at most, I would think like
something's wrong.
You got to do it because she just called you.
Yeah.
Like if she hadn't just called you.
She called you scared.
Yeah.
She did this. Yeah. I would immediately.
She does go to the police because after 2 hours, she's like, this is suspect. Like, this is not like a grocery run, got caught up. Met some friends.
Leaves, if you were going to the grocery, who doesn't eat their dinner first?
Or leave a note. You know, be like, hey, I'll be right back. Ran to the store.
Because I don't see you preparing dinner, putting it on the table while it's still warm, and then being like, you know what? I need a pack of cigarettes right now. Yeah. You know, like you'd wait till you were done eating.
Cheese.
You know, I don't know.
At any rate.
Yeah, she didn't just go to the police. She went to the 1968 police.
That's right.
That's right.
She sure did.
Which is another thing that I was going to say is like,
honey, let's pretend like this would be any different right now. If I went to the police 2 hours after you were missing, what would I be told?
Oh, she's probably out.
Well, and on top of that, though, we're talking 1968 police and we're talking
immigrants.
An immigrant. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yep. Which is
immigrant
like.
Immigrant woman.
Which I can imagine also that probably factored in into her timing of like whether or not she even wanted to contact the police. It's like, true. Do you even want to deal with.
Right.
Oh,
with
sure.
1968 police as a Central American immigrant in New York.
Oh, like, my
God. Oh, in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I don't, like, I think he would. Try to avoid that
as much as possible.
Yeah. Sure.
But she does. She's like, this isn't
this
right.
Is my friend.
This is my friend. I have to know what happened to her. And of course, as we all suspected, the police are like, she's been missing for 2 hours.
Literally chill.
You need to calm down. Ma'am, could you calm down? Calm down, ma'am.
Relax.
Yeah, relax. You know what? Just go home, get yourself a nice cup of tea and relax, okay? Mm-hmm. And so she's like, fine, I guess maybe I'm wrong, and goes home. But the next day, she's like 24 hours later, she's like, I still haven't heard anything. So I contacted the police again. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, you're not a family member. So for you, you really can't be the person who says she's missing.
What?
Like, right?
How does that even work?
I feel like they changed that because I've watched stuff since then where like co-workers have been able to file missing
persons report.
Why was that
ever a thing? Yeah. Why was ever a thing? Some people don't have family.
She had no family at all there. She was practically like her family because
there
was friend. What would you do even for me?
Yeah.
Technically in the city of Los Angeles, I do not have blood relatives here.
Right.
Like at all. So I'm like, if I were to go missing and they were
Tammy
to say,
wouldn't know.
Right. Like she couldn't be the one to, you could call her and then she could call, but like she would have no firsthand knowledge of when they saw me last or any of that stuff. So why you guys would be the ones to call them.
Yeah.
You know, that's a dumb rule.
Yeah.
Period.
It really was. I was really shocked. So at that point, she was like, well, I
feel like they were making shit up, if I'm honest. I feel like they were like, we don't want to deal with this. So we know that she doesn't know the law. And so we're going to tell her she can't do this. That's what I think happened.
I fully agree with you, Keegan. As soon as I heard it, I was like, that's some made up bullshit if I've ever heard it. Mm-hmm. But they do. So she called. She tried. She's done everything. She's like, I literally ran out of options. I have nothing I can do because no one can help me and nobody will help me. So she's like, in some part of my brain, I just was like, maybe she moved back to El Salvador to raise her child.
You have to do that.
You have to. How could you not? You'd be like,
you know, rationally, that's not the case because she came home to warm dinner. Like, you know,
you didn't just take off back to El Salvador at 9 o'clock at night
after you called me saying you were scared. Yeah. You know that that's not what happened, but you have to justify that shit in your brain in order to get by in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
So they are like, wow, okay, so this is really starting to come together. We don't have a name from this person, but we're pretty sure we know who this married person is. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they don't track down Dudeface. They don't track down Mr. Elkins first. What they do is they reach out to his partner.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you and your friend, you guys, Marvin Gantman. Mm-hmm. You guys used to own a business, right? He's like, yeah, I owned this business with, you know, Howard Elkins. Yeah, years ago. What was the business? Oh, we made flowers. Do you recognize this barrel? Oh, yeah, that's the barrel we used to put. We held a chemical in there that we used to dye our plants. Specifically, that one was for green. And I can tell because of this indication. Great. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So he's going on. So your partner, did he ever have a girlfriend? He was married, right? Yeah, he was married. And yes, he did have a girlfriend. It was a girl that worked here. She had dark
hair. All the tea, honey.
She had dark hair. She was about this height. She's got 4 gold teeth in the front. I'm pretty sure her name was Raina. He's given it all, right?
Marvin is here to spill the tea.
Marvin's like, yeah, I got all your information. No problem, right? Well, they track down. So they're like, yeah, this is it. They track down Howard Elkins. down in Florida. And they go to Howard Elkins' house and they're like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, Howard, how are you doing? We have some questions for you. We found this barrel at this home that you used to own.
The confidence of this man to leave a barrel with a body in it in his house.
Yeah. And leave it.
And be like, deuces, I'm fucking off to fucking South Beach. Like, what?
Yeah. Not unfounded confidence because he got away with it for 30 years. Fucking ever.
33 years.
Never underestimate the amount that people don't want to deal with shit. And that, I probably would leave. I would leave a barrel. And I'm like,
that's
a
problem for future me.
Yeah. I'm like,
and it was.
Because I would make one call. I'd be like, hey, can you come pick this up? No. All right. Well, living in the basement for the next 10 to 20 years. You know,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And there literally has never been another case that I've ever seen where they had more evidence.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, legit, concrete,
yeah,
unrefutable, unquestionable,
yeah,
evidence.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Janice had all the receipts.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All of them.
Oh, God. She was in. Ready to spill it all, yeah, at, mm-hmm, trial, I'm sure. But, you know, I can't. My anxiety could never allow me to leave. Mm-hmm. You're dying in that house. Like, well, you, yeah, can't ever.
Yeah. No, that barrel's sure as shit not going to stay there. That barrel is sure as shit.
She was probably haunting him.
He probably
yeah, you're right,
tried to move that barrel and realized with the pellets and everything he'd put in, probably used pellets to weigh it down. He probably had an idea that he was going to go throw that in the fucking...
Yeet it in the, yeah, ocean. Yeah.
He was going to get rid of that barrel. But I think he probably didn't realize once he put all that shit to weight it down, he was like, oh, fuck, I can barely...
Well, then you never move. Guess, yeah, right, what? You're tied to, like, that house for the rest of your life.
She haunted him.
She probably, yeah, haunted him.
Yeah. That was, like, Insidious, yeah, up in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So they go knock on Howard's door, and Howard answers, come on in, guys. And he's like, they're like, hey, so... You own this business. Oh, yeah. You know, I own this business. Sure. Do you know what this barrel is?
Meanwhile, he's sweating. It's just like on the inside.
Nope. Never seen barrel like that before in my life. That's weird. No, we definitely didn't use barrels like that. Mm-hmm. Nope. That's weird. Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did have a girlfriend. But I could not tell you what she looked like. I couldn't give you a description of her hair color, her eye color, her height, her weight, whether she was a slim build or a heavy build. But yeah, I definitely have this girl that I cheated on my wife with.
What a weird hill to die on.
Yep.
Like, you're going to admit to having the affair,
yeah,
but you're going to be like, wow, I have no idea what she looked like. Like, why? Right. Like, why is that the thing that you're going to, like?
So they were like, well, that's funny because the body that we found, definitely she's pregnant. And what we would like to do is we think that we could probably match your DNA with this baby's DNA. And he's like, you guys need to leave right now. My wife's on her way home. And honestly, because they're like in Florida, they don't have a
jurisdiction there.
Well, they don't have a arrest warrant.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, mm-hmm, they right away go to the police for a DNA search warrant and an arrest warrant. I mean, immediately. And then they get a call the very next morning. And they're like, hey, this is the Palm Beach police. Have you guys, did you guys take so-and-so Howard into custody? And they're, mm-hmm, like, no. Well, his wife called and he's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And we fast forward, find Howard Elkins in his good buddy's garage in the back seat of his car, and he had shot himself.
Yep.
Nothing screams guilty like that.
That is the most unsatisfying.
It is. And that's what the police said. They're like, this is, you know, no justice.
Yeah. But it is frustrating because, like I was saying, there's never been a case where it's been more black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no
clear
questioning of this evidence against him. And it's just like, you want to take it to court. You want to get, yeah, that guilty verdict. And you want that because that seems
that
like fitting justice. And
right,
this just seems like...
The police do eventually do the DNA test. And of course, it does prove that the baby is his. The police also enlist a journalist. There's this journalist has been on the case from the very beginning. And they ask him to track down her family in San Salvador. So he does. He goes down to San Salvador and he finds Raina's family home, knocks on the door, and they're having a big, huge celebration. And because Raina's mom is turning 93.
I'm going to cry. Like, that. Like, this makes me so sad.
And the family is like, oh my gosh, you guys came to celebrate the 93rd birthday. You're from the press. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. That is not what I'm here for. I wanted to let you know that we found Raina's body. And of course, the mom breaks down. The family is able to finally mourn this thing that they had always suspected was happening, that the mom claims that for years she'd had dreams that Raina was in a barrel falling over a waterfall. And so, like, this is kind of just like a conclusion for her. But she said that she'd always wanted to know what happened, and that this was the reason that she'd lived so long, that she had stayed alive all this time and lived into her 90s just so that she could find out what happened to her beautiful daughter.
My heart.
And that October of 1999, Raina and her unborn son were buried in their family
plot.
Yeah. And then a month later, her mother was buried right beside her.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, the family finally got to have their answers.
Yes.
Of which is the, you know, we don't get to enjoy what happens to Howard, the fucking piece of shit, garbage
it's
human.
It's the best possible outcome for the situation as it is. You right, know, right, like that, right. At least the family got to have a little bit of closure.
Yeah.
You I know? Told you, it's that kind of thing that would drive me.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
Drive me like just off the wall. It's just not knowing. I hate mysteries. Imagine, I still think about the Roanoke colony. Learning about it in like the third grade, I get like really intense about like what happened to the Roanoke
colony.
Think
about to her friend, Kathy. Yeah. What if they had not found her phone number in that book and Kathy never got to know?
Yeah.
Never got to have the closure of knowing what happened to her best friend. She may have been a blip on the radar of some people in her life, but these are the people that really were marked by her, her best friend and her family. And they all thankfully got to find out what happened.
That was my biggest fear at times, is like there was a story I read about a woman in the UK who like died in her flat and no one found out for 3 years.
There's a documentary. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's gosh. Terrifying. It is. That shit keeps you up at night for real.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, well, if something happens to me, how long, or like, will it be long enough that my cat eats my face? Like, things got dark there for a while when I was single.
Christina, can we be honest? Yeah. It wouldn't be 3 days, let alone 3 years.
We've talked about this on the podcast before. Yeah. Like, we had side chats going on where we were like, has anyone heard from Christina? She went on a date last night. And you know how much I was on you about, like, you need to text. And you resisted because you don't like people knowing your business and knowing where you're at. But yeah, I was I don't care.
I also don't want to be a Dateline
you
episode.
You need to
text us
who you're dating and where you're going.
We were like, can I have a phone number?
Screenshot that shit.
Yes.
Like, we need to know what this motherfucker looks like. Okay. Yep. Yes. Because I
just encourage everybody that's single, date with your friends.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Like, yeah.
You guys definitely like sisters.
It's awesome. We're a Christina watch.
Yes. We were like, I think I'm going to have to drive over the hill. I mean, I
legitimately, that one day.
Yes.
You literally texted me.
I was going to send Emerson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I almost got in my car. I was on my way, keys in hand, on my way to my car when you finally texted me back. And we're like, oh, yeah, I just slept in. I'm like, fuck. You almost had a knock on your door.
Nobody had heard from you from like 6 p.m. the day before, and it was like 2 p.m. the next day. And like everyone had been texting. They were like, she's not responding to the group chat. She's not responding to individual text messages. I'm worried something's wrong.
Girl, we were like, 9-1 fucking one.
Dude, that was a good one. I love that. Sometimes I like the ones that we all know, and that's such a fucking classic Forensic Files. I must have seen it like a bunch of times.
Been something
it's just
like that.
Really, yeah, like, that sticks stuck. In me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when I, like I said, it has stuck in my brain for however long.
Right.
That I was like, I know this story. And then there was that part of me that was like, okay, do I know this story because I like saw it on like a CSI or some
right,
shit?
Right, because it does have very CSI vibes.
Right. Yeah. Where, like Law and Order, like, did an episode that sounded like this. And I'm like, I know about this. And so I'm like literally Googling body found in barrel, which led to not the
that,
right thing.
That was
found in crawl space, barrel in crawl space with dead woman. Like, you know, like
your just, FBI agent.
Your search history is big. Big oof energy. That's how it was whenever I was looking for the Ent Whistle one, where I was like, I know this story. I was searching the most weird, bizarre shit. I was like, I actually need to get off my work computer and go to my personal computer, because I'm like, I cannot be.
Somebody in IT is like, what? Making phone calls.
Happening. Yes. Exactly.
How do you guys know this Keegan?
They're like, they're like, help us help you. You need to stop.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, I was telling Cassie, you know, I have had just, I've been in like a mental space where I'm like, I cannot use one more brain cell to digest anything of substance. So I'm just real housewiving it up. But I told her, on the stereo, I was like, I have to watch something because I cannot come back to the listeners again and be like, I haven't watched anything new. So last night, but I still didn't want to pay attention too much. So I didn't watch any like Oscar nominated things or anything like that. But you know me, when I'm like, I just want to feel
cozy,
comfy and cozy, I'm going to put on a horror movie. So
I was like waiting for a baking show.
Yeah, no. So I like Googled like best horror movies 2020. And I found one that I had not heard of, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get this. And we bought it on Vudu. We were like, we're gonna commit to this. And it's called One Bedroom. So it's one
VR. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And
it's got a very single white female vibe, right? Is that right?
It's almost got a Rosemary's Baby vibe. Okay. A little bit. It's I don't know, it's good. Like if you like kind
it's
of
suspense.
Yes, it's suspense. There is some, you're gonna see some stuff depending on how like squeamish you are, but it's psychological. It's interesting. It's
it ain't for me.
It's like a cult. It has cult classic kind of vibes. Oh, like okay. Nobody big name is in it.
Okay.
The acting is so-so.
Got
but
it.
That's not really what you're watching it for.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very like original concept.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. It takes place in LA.
Oh,
which is also like, well,
yeah, sometimes know? That's scarier when it's like when you recognize the close surroundings.
Yeah. And it feels like LA too. Yeah. Like the way that it feels like real LA, not like glamorized LA, which can be like, ooh, this feels like life. You know what I mean?
That's
hidden. And it is. It's like a single woman who moves to Los Angeles and like has to find an apartment. And I'm like, oh,
that's scary in itself.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's actually the story. That is actually the entire story. That's it. There you go.
But yeah, so if you're looking for, because I know that horror movies can be kind of tricky. I love horror movies and I don't understand why it's so hard for them to be good.
Yeah.
Because so many crappy horror movies get made and I will watch them all. But sometimes you're like, I want to watch something like interesting or unique. Right. And that it was a good one. I would recommend it.
Right. Nice. Wasn't The Shining, but.
Yeah, sure. Right, yeah. Right. A lot shorter than The Shining, though. So you're only committing to like an hour and a half.
Oh, good.
You know.
Even better. Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't had much energy to do any watching of TV, but so basically like we're still on Harrow. But I honestly at night, I'm just like, I don't know if I can devote any energy to that. So it's been a lot of Property Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which, listen. Yeah, no, I love the Property
love a
Brothers.
Home right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally cannot get my head wrapped around the beginning opening sequence of that show when in which they show Drew running like he's out jogging and he's wearing like loafers,
yeah,
like dress loafers, and I'm like, honey, you're not jogging.
Which one is dating Zooey Deschanel?
I think it's, well, it has to be Jonathan because Drew's married.
Interesting. Okay.
Wait, yeah, are they?
Yes.
Yes.
I am so happy about that.
Really? Really?
I mean, it makes sense. Like in my head, when I heard it, I was like, I get that.
It's weird.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I did watch him on Dancing with the Stars and he seemed like a nice guy. So
oh, they seem like incredibly nice. They seem really, really nice. I can't be friends with twins, but I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. You just made so many twins mad right now.
Joking. I'm totally joking. No, but they seem like the nicest of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I finished my Oscar Best Picture watch with one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
Oh shit.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It took me a long time to watch that one, mm-hmm. and I purposely saved it for last because I know the story, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm not in the right headspace for this. And finally, I was just like, I don't think I'm ever going to be, and I just need to watch it.
That's why I haven't watched it either. It's Fred Hampton, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a place where I feel like
so I can watch it. Good. It is such a good movie. I was weeping at the end, but it's just a story that every single person should know.
Every single person. It's basically about COINTELPRO looking into the Black Panthers and what resulted from that. It's the story itself is fascinating in itself, and then I've heard I've watched the trailer, the acting, the...
I have goosebumps just talking
about it. Oh, honey. Wow. Okay. I'm watching it this weekend. I'm going to watch it this weekend. Yeah. Okay.
It is Christina's pick for Best Picture.
Okay.
I think, and I'll be honest, Nomadland, I enjoyed the least.
Yeah. Interesting. I heard it's slow.
It's slow. It's good. I appreciate it. I know why they're probably going to give it Best Picture.
Really?
Whatever. But it was my least favorite of the whole bunch.
Huh.
I liked every other movie in the category better than that movie.
Wow. Oh, man, I need to catch up to you. Frances McDormand is a queen.
Legend. I love her. And I was so flipping bored the whole movie.
The thing,
there was one part in it. Because what's cool about it is they used actual, like, real people in it. So there's a woman, like, a real woman that has, like, a monologue in the middle of the movie that's really good. Where I was like, holy shit, really drew me out because the rest of the movie's so boring.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then it's, like, whatever.
The thing I find fascinating about movies like that is that people like Frances McDormand, who are so good, I feel like they elevate everybody around them to this level of, like, everyone seems like a great actor.
Yeah.
I mean, or they are a great actor because you step up to the, like, to your scene partner, right? You step up to the level that that's expected of you. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Sure. I mean, it's good. All the movies, listen, I enjoyed every single movie that I watched. You're talking Nomadland, The Father, Promising Young Woman, Minari.
Promising Young Woman, dude. That movie. I legitimately could rewatch it at any given moment.
It blew me, blew me away.
I'm going to have to get out of this funk I'm in. No, listen. I'm in.
You haven't watched Promising?
No. Here's the thing. I have been in a mental funk where I can't make myself want to watch anything of substance. Like, I just don't want to watch anything
that's
making my brain work. And like, I need to get out of this because I want to be able to really enjoy art. and I love movies. You know, I love movies. I love Oscar season, but I've just been in this, and it's not like I'm depressed. It's not anything like that. It's just this weird mental space.
I just where you're at right now. Phases like that for sure.
Yes, but I want to. So I need to just do it. I need to just like sit down and make myself watch Judas and the Black Messiah tomorrow.
So you know? Promising young woman. You must watch that.
It's a good rash of pictures, honestly. Like the best picture category is definitely worth watching any of them from there. There's not one that I'm like, oh, I regret watching this. I liked all of them for different reasons. They're very different kinds of movies.
Yeah.
So, like,
they are. What a wide variety this
year. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. The other thing that we started watching last night, and I have no idea why. I don't know why it came into my head, but I was talking to Eric, and he has never really watched The X-Files.
Oh no. Man. That ain't for me.
And I love it.
He also hasn't seen, or like, he had heard of Millennium, but he hadn't watched it. And I was like,
I've never
my
seen
God.
That.
I don't even, same.
So Millennium was created by The X-Files creator, and it came out in 96. So I was like 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking that it was the scariest show ever. It was the very first show that featured like a criminal profiler that remember.
Ooh, so you know, my ears just went. Uh-huh.
Lance Henriksen, lead character, could listen to him read the phone book because he has the most resonant voice of all time. And I was like, well, we have to watch it immediately. So we started watching Millennium.
Is it great?
Amazing.
Does it hold up?
It holds up.
Okay.
So far, we've only watched like the first two episodes. And I was like, it's pre like CSI and CIA. Like, it literally,
I feel
like
that.
Launched the serial killer
genre.
Wow. Yeah,
I am gonna watch that for sure.
If you got stuff we should watch, if stories to tell, then go to our one stop shop of websites, myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you guys so much.
Cheers.